take care of each other. And that one person I'm talking about, he comes to our church, comes to the youth, and we're going to help him out, take care of each other, find a place to live, right? I mean, God knows our needs and uses his people, uses the church to take care of those needs. He saw our need for him and came to the cross. I was able to go to the Lenten service on Wednesday, and we sang this song, Pass It On. And the third verse of Pass It On says, my wish for you, my friend, my wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I have found. So as we're preparing for Invite a Friend Sunday, our neighbors are everybody. We have lots of friends. We say that we do. There's certainly lots of people in our family, lots of influences, lots of people that we're around and in contact with. And, you know, for Invite a Friend Sunday, yes, we'll be a free email and special music will be by the group from Sawbell Church. They love coming here. And, you know, their dad is the pastor there, and he's talking about not having church and bringing them all here. Well, we better have lots of good. I don't know how it's going to go, but we're all friends in Christ, right? Churches should be working together. Christians should be working together. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. Do you have that happiness? So see, you have to have that happiness before you can share that happiness, right? If you want people to be happy, you got to be happy. If you want people to have Jesus, you got to have Jesus, right? You can depend on him. It matters not where you're bound. You can depend on him. We need to let people know that. Here's one verse you can depend on. He'll help you through all these problems. And that particular family are trying to help. The boys have been coming to you. She goes, you'll do that. I said, that's what we do. That's what the church does. What do you mean? That's where it's supposed to be. Oh, my gosh. She just broke down emotionally. Oh, my gosh. No one's ever helped me like that. We're going to help you. Because we're supposed to do, right? We want people to know that we can depend on him. We're the church. We messed up because we're humans. But we can depend on him. And through his help, we can meet needs, right? And then it says, I'll shout it from the mountaintop. Now, I'll be honest. Those of you who were there, in this song, it said, I'll shout it from the mountaintop. Is that good, Paul? Is that good? No. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. And listen, someone in there shouted. Oh, my gosh. I jumped. Everybody else, oh, my gosh. You're like, oh, my God. And I'm thinking, I think I knew that. And then I was telling Bethany about it. I said, it was spirit led, right? Whatever the spirit leads you to do. And then I thought, well, you know what? If you think about that song, I'll shout it from the mountaintop. We should. We should shout it from the mountaintop that we have this friend that we can depend on. The Lord of love has come to me, and I want to pass it on. Do you want to pass it on? So every Sunday, not just next week, but every Sunday, we pass this on to our friends, the people we love, the people we care about, the people that we know. Reaching out to people again that we haven't seen for a while, trying to do that. You should do that too. My wish for you, my friend, is this happiness that I found. I found that happiness. Found that happiness right here in this church. Learning all about this right here. This cross, which has led me to what I'm doing today. Praise the Lord for that. Thankful again for all the opportunities he has given me to work with children and young people and just be an influence. And hopefully set a positive example. You know, sometimes we all, you know, lose our minds and how to use our teacher voice. Everybody has a teacher voice, right? I had to use a couple times this past week. I just hate doing that. But you got to sometimes get people's attention. And then think about Jesus. Think about that. His whole entire ministry was trying to get people's attention. Do you realize that? Trying to get people's attention, trying to bring them to the cross, help them understand why he's going to go to the cross and why he's going to raise from the tomb. He's trying to get people's attention. And we've been talking about since the beginning of Lent here about being prepared for that, being careful and watching out. And last week we talked about spending time in the desert. And these are the things that Jesus was doing in his ministry. He was trying to prepare the disciples and prepare everyone to the cross and right into the tomb. And why tell you to be careful and watchful what's happening around you, what's going on, and the devil is real and trying to tempt you. Remember, Jesus was tempted. Do you spend time in the desert? Are you spending any time in the desert? Are you spending any time in the wilderness this 40 days of Lent to just be alone with him? And we're trying to get to the cross, right? And experiencing this happiness. And then you're in the wilderness of the desert away from everybody. Experiencing that happiness that you found and you want to get up and go pass it on. And so this morning, we're going to look in Luke chapter 20. And again, in getting prepared, we think about us, you know, we're getting prepared for Easter, and you know, we're doing lots of things, but our heart's prepared for Easter. I mean, for what that really means. Lent's a season of reflection, renewal, and preparation. I mean, are we doing that? Spending time in the desert, trying to keep our eyes on the cross, sharing this happiness that we've found, help people understand what it really means, so that we might pass on God's love. And so, again, he was trying to prepare the disciples and the people that were following him. He was trying to warn them to be careful and to be watchful. And I think that his example, too, of just going away sometimes and getting away from the people, and he was tempted just as we are, but he didn't fall into that. And so as he's continuing in his journey to the cross, he's trying to get around. And so this morning, again, he's having another, I believe, another teachable moment and trying to help the disciples and followers to get ready for what he's about to do. And we right now believe all this, right? But we're getting ready for his return, knowing that he will return. And so it says in Luke chapter 20, we begin in verse 27, it says, some of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus with a question. So these doubters came to Jesus and had a question. And again, this whole time that he's here, I believe that he's trying to prepare them just as like he's trying to prepare us to get ready to die. He'll come to the cross. And so, teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife with no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. And here's what we have to understand. These are people of the law, people of the Old Testament, so to speak, and they're going by all these prophets and Moses, and here comes Jesus. It's all new. You know, he has this new idea, right? And so they just want understanding. And that's why it's important that we get understanding. We tell our kids, if you don't know, ask the teacher. If you don't know what's happening, raise your hand. Do they do that now? Do we do that? When we don't know what's happening, do we raise our hand, fellas? When we're looking for directions and we're lost, do we ask for help? No, we don't. Okay? And so they had these questions. And they had lots of questions. So they came right to the source to ask them this question. These teachable moments. And he's trying to get them ready. And he said, well, this is what Moses said. And this is what Moses taught, and that's what they knew, right? They didn't have all this technology, couldn't write anything down, didn't even have this Bible here. They're going by what they're hearing, what they're being taught verbally. And so they're just referring to this story, and they're telling Jesus, this is what we were taught. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second, and then the third married her, and in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. So this is all about a question of resurrecting from the dead. And so that's what they said here. That some of the Sadducees who say there's no resurrection came to Jesus. And so they said, well, yeah, there is. Moses said there was. You do that, right? Now, she said that there was. He said there was. Go ask your mom. Right? Can I do that? And she said, we can go ask your dad. Right? So they're going to go ask Jesus. They're hearing all these things. And now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be since the seven were married to her? This question about resurrection, and these people have died, who's going to come back? Who's going to take care of the kids, right? They have these questions. They came right to Jesus, right? When we have questions, do we come right to Jesus? Do we go to God's Word? When we're struggling, having a problem, having an issue, something really major is happening in our life, a turning point, a transition, do we go to Jesus for questions? Do we go to God's Word? Do we call up our friends and do we say, hey, let's study this together, let's get together and pray about it? And I think that's what's neat about this particular part is that Jesus is trying to get them ready. And that's what he wants. He wants them to come to him. And again, they're all following him and coming around. They hear what's going on. And so he wants them to know the truth. And so they ask this question. This is what they've been taught. This is what they have heard. And then Jesus has a response, right? Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage. So Jesus in that statement saying, hey, it's different now, okay? I'm here. I can sit here as the Son of God, and I'm telling you the truth. You just got to trust me. You got to believe me. The people of this age marry and are given in marriage. We do that here, right? We do weddings here, and marriages, I do lots of those, and people come together, man and wife come together, and they leave their mother and father, they're given in marriage. It says, though, in verse 35, and Jesus is giving the explanation. Now, Jesus, you know, I mean, he says, oh, I gotta go heal somebody. I gotta go get this demon-possessed girl straight here. I'll be back later. No. That's what Jesus did. I mean, he met needs. He took care of the people, and he wanted them to understand. And so he's having this teachable moment as he's trying to get them ready, trying to get them prepared. And so Jesus replied, the people of this age marry are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry or not be given in marriage. You know what? For a long time, in my single days, I mean, is that for me? I'm not going to marry and I'm just going to follow Jesus forever and just spend all my time with him. And that would be okay, right? For a long time, and that's what that means for me. You know, when you think about my niece, Amber, my mom, my mom has probably smoked some cigarettes before this birth of the baby for Amber, because she always, my mom always worried about Amber and wanted her to be happy and wanted her, you know, to have a baby, because that was the desire of Amber's heart. You know, she got married, it didn't work out, but she was faithful to God, met this awesome God, and she had a baby this week at the age, what is Amber, like 43, and, you know, and mom, I remember even before mom, you know, she knew that Amber was going to get married, but she's getting too old, and, you know, she's not going to have a baby. I said, hey, people can have babies when they're 92. I'm not having no baby. I'm not having no baby. I'm going to get sick. So I always used to think about this, but this is in reference to what Moses had said, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and the resurrection, he's the only one who's going to resurrect from the dead, okay? And he's the one who can do that. And I think that's what this story is trying to help them understand, that he's the one. And all these things, not the law that they learned from the priests and the law, but I've come to kind of clear all that. I've come because you have a need. And I've come for your salvation, right? And so, I used to think about, maybe I won't marry. But see, God had a plan for me, right? And they no longer die, for they are like angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, so they have all these questions about what they learned from Moses. So now, he's not discrediting Moses, is he? No, he's just saying, here's what we're going to think about now, because I've come, right? And so these are the things, and these go back in Scripture, the things that in the Old Testament that Jesus, or that Moses had proclaimed. But in the account of the burning bush, in verse 37, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then verse 38, he's not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. And so, see these prophets of old, and even those that were proclaiming God's word, you know, the prophets were certainly saying that this is what's going to happen. Jesus is going to come. This is what he's going to do. And some of the teachers, here's what's awesome about this story. Some of the teachers of the law responded, well said, teacher. Well said, teacher. Do you guys do that? You ever said it to your teacher? Well said, teacher. Well done, teacher. We usually just complain about the teacher, right? It's not very nice because they work hard. So you should do that. You guys in here that tell your teachers, well done, well said. But these are people that are critical, people that aren't understanding. They're going to put them on the cross, and these teachers of the law say, well said, teacher. And no one dared to ask him any more questions. Wow. Did Jesus answer a question? He summed it up. He said, I've come. I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. That's what he's trying to help them understand. So we're going to help understand here today and share it with our friends and pass it on that Jesus came, he died, and he was raised from the dead for us. And we believe it's all about promises, isn't it? God's love and his promises. That's what this is all about. Our faith is all about. God keeps his promises because he loves us. He says, share it with your friends. Pass it on. And so in this case, everyone that was there listening, And again, they have this question about resurrection, and so they ask Jesus a question. They were very thorough in their question. I believe he was very thorough in his answer. They said, well said. They were like, okay, we got it. Did they get it? I don't know if they got it. They didn't ask any more questions. Now, we shouldn't be afraid to ask God questions. We shouldn't be afraid to talk to God and spend time with him, because he is our God. And going on in scripture, it's not on the PowerPoint, but Jesus went on to say to them, why is it said that besides the Son of David, and this is actually verse 41 and 42, and David himself declares the book of Psalms, and this is Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Well, that's taken from Psalms, and we know that the Lord is our God, and we know that Jesus came to defeat our enemies, right? To defeat death, to defeat our sin. We're victorious because God sent his son Jesus, and he is the one who is resurrected from the dead for each of us. And that's what he's telling them right now in this teachable moment as he's doing what? Trying to get them prepared. And again, I think it's very notable here that the teachers of the law said, well said, teachers. And again, they're very critical and not sure, and thinking that he was blaspheming, right? But in this case, well said. And so, class dismissed, right? So as we continue in our journey here to the cross, right into the tomb, as God was preparing the disciples and the followers that were right there in his journey, right there at that time when he was here on the earth, he was trying to prepare them. Going to be watchful, careful, because we don't know the time and hour. Be like us today. If we never decide to follow Jesus, we need to do it today. But we don't know when Jesus is coming back. That's a decision you make in your heart, right? Say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to try my best to follow you. That's how we can be prepared, right? Being careful and knowing that we can be tempted not to fall into that. I think it's really important that we need to spend time go to the desert. This past was very busy for me, and I was trying real hard to find some desert wilderness time to spend with Jesus. And last I had to run to this store by myself. You can do it, you can do that in the car. Just pay attention, right? Keep driving the car. But you still spend time with Jesus. And that could be your wilderness if that's the only time you have in the day, right? And what's awesome, we think about Jesus' journey. He did all this for us. And he says, you come to the cross just as you are. I came to do all this. I saw a need. God saw a need. A need for Jesus. They sent his son Jesus here who would live and heal and teach, make people well. And he went to the cross. And he said, I'll take you just as you are. And that's the problem today. I mean, in my encounters and talking to people, we'd love for you to be part of our church. Oh, your church don't want me. We'd love to have you. Oh, God would want me. Yes, he does. God takes us just as we are. And that's what I'm talking about. This drug epidemic and all these things that are happening in our world today. People get to the point where, oh, I've done so much that God will never love me again. Just had honestly, just talking to persons in our youth group long when I first started. Boy, she's made some bad decisions. Keep reminding her, God still loves you. Oh, I know you keep saying that, but why aren't things working out? I said, because you're not trusting him. You need to come back to church. Why can't you come back to church like this? Why can't you? God says, he'll take you just as you are. God loves you this morning. And not just this week, but every week and every day, we need to make a good effort. Pass that on. That Jesus loves you just as you are. This happiness that I've found, I'm going to share. God wants this. Bring it right to the cross. Then it's up to them. They got to make their own choice, right? Father, we thank you this morning for your presence in this place. God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us and directs us and I believe watches over us and protects us. And God, you'll do that if we just ask you. You say you will. God, we thank you this morning. God, thank you again for this church and thank you for the people of this church and what they do. A lot of people here are doing good things and serving people and meeting needs, and we don't know what they're doing, but God, you do. God, just help us to continue to do that, and to be sensitive, to be watchful, to be careful, to be sensitive to the needs around us, and through the church, or in our own ministries, that we would do what we can. God, thank you for this church. We've been able to do what we can. And God, we thank you for that this morning. God, as we look at this cross, we know you did that for us. We know that was for us. God, we thank you for that. I pray if there's any decisions that need to be made today, whatever it might be today, would be the day they do. If we come in here with a concern or a prayer, God, we just surrender right here at the feet of Jesus. Whatever we need to do before we leave from this place, we do it. That we be obedient. And God, that you love us just as we are. But you don't want us to stay that way. You love us just as we are. But you're the only one that can change us. You're the only one that can change our hearts. God, we thank you. God, we praise you. We give you all the glory. For we ask it all in Jesus' most precious name.